Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. I got a bad cold this morning, but I'm on the show. Listen, we got a new name. I'm going to announce it at the end of the show. But for right now, this is all about you. And we want you to know that people are out there scuffling and they're struggling. You need to be a watchman on the wall. Are you a watchman on the wall? Right now, the world is in need of people who care about one another. And I know if you're on this show right now, you're one of them. They're in need of people who stand ready to assist those who appear to have lost their way and who feel that there's no way out of a hell that they've found themselves in. The world is rich in resources. Now, don't get me wrong. They have houses, lands, bountiful means to share. They have everything that they need. But are you willing to step in the gap and reach down to share your life and your means with another? Well, we have Colonel William Harrison on the show. He's going to chime in on everything that's good when you make up your mind that you're going to be a watcher on the wall, meaning you're going to care and you're going to show that you care about one another. Colonel Harrison, Dr. William Harrison, are you on the show with us today? I'm going to announce our new tagline and title.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Capitino and listening audience. I am with you this morning, and Happy New Year's to you, and been on travel, but glad to be back in the area and on the show again. So we're looking forward to inspiration of the year and helping others.
Yay. I sure am glad too. I'm very happy because I know back there it's snowing. Is that right?
It was, but it looked like the storm has passed, so we're grateful for that.
Well, we are, but let me tell you something. The storm is not passed for people walking in America and with their lowest means of life, meaning they don't have everything that they need. Some of them out there homeless. I mean, that's all we're hearing about. And here in the West Coast area, especially California, you know, it seems like it's just growing. But our county board of supervisors, headed by, and I'm going to call him this, the great honorable Mark Willie Thomas, and our just Superman mayor, Eric Garcetti. I mean, there's not been a mayor like him. And these people are really on the ground floor doing all that they can to make sure programs, resources, anything that the homeless and those about to be homeless need, they're there. And I know back there in your area, you're in the Washington, Maryland, Virginia region. What do you see with people showing kindness to others, seeing them and they're driving in their car and they're looking hungry on street corners, they're laying down there almost in the snow, they're walking about with blankets on their head? What's happening back there on the East Coast in this area? Hello, Colonel Harrison?
I switch over momentarily, having brought an incoming message, but I'm back.
Well, you better stop that. You better stop that because you got some incoming people on this end. So answer that question, sir. What's happening on the East Coast with people stretching out to help one another?
Please pose your question again, Doc.
Hello, Colonel Harrison. Have you had your coffee? What's going on with you this morning? You're showing out in a bad way.
Yes, I'm back with you. I'm back with you, Doc. Please pose your question.
Okay.
Answer
that question. Answer that question. You got some sleepy people up at 8 a.m. on the West Coast to hear what you have to say. Answer that question.
Okay,
what's
I apologize, Doc. I missed the question. Please restate the question.
Okay, this is the question. A lot of people here on the West Coast, you know, they're homeless, they're hungry, they are going about looking for people to throw their arms around them, to show they care, and not only to show they care, but to offer any kind of resources and assistance. We are a brother's keeper. You're a minister. I know you preach that. We know people need people. And if you're talking about helping people out of a bad situation that they're in. And many are, they crossed over into 2020, bad situation. So back there on the East Coast, what's happening there? I know what's happening here, and I'm reporting. I'm the watcher on the wall, as our topic is. Now, I know you're watching on your wall back on the East Coast. What's happening there? Are you guys really stretching out to help your homeless brothers? You know, whether they come to church or not, or they go into synagogue or not, they go into temple or not. What's happening back there on the East Coast?
Yes, that's interesting, Doc. We're having similar plight here on the East Coast with our homelessness. Just the population of homeless, it's not as large as perhaps it is on the West Coast. But recently I had a couple, by way of example, I had a couple of homeless brothers to visit the church and worship, and one of them reached out to me after the service and said he needed counseling. Now, they're not members of the church, but because of my calling to help and serve God's people, and because there's a need, and because we are our brother's keeper, I'm actually engaged in counseling one of the two homeless brothers once a week. And he's constantly in touch with me every morning by way of text. So I feel that we have an obligation to certainly reach out and help the homeless. And this is not a situation wherein we can entrust this or rely solely on the city, the states, the counties, and so forth. We have to get involved at the community level, grassroots level, helping those in our communities that are homeless. They're homeless for many, many various reasons. And so in any event, I'm involved in that regard. And we do have programs back here, but we, the people, got to get involved from a community-based level, reaching out, giving clothes, food, going to the parks, whatever, providing shelter and so forth for the homeless people in our parks.
Okay, now that sounds great. Now, I think I heard something. So if a person is not a member of your church, you don't counsel them? If someone come in there and they look astray, they look like they're unkempt, you don't say anything to them if they're not a member? Did I hear you say someone has to be a member of your church before they get counseling? Very, very quickly on that, because I have another question on the end of that. Is that what you said? He wasn't a member, but you went ahead and talked to him anyway. Do they have to be a member?
They don't have to be a member, but I have to be led by the Spirit. It depends on how the Spirit leads me as to whether this person really needs spiritual counsel or not. Some people need psychological counseling. So it's a very delicate issue, and there's a particular potential for liability in counseling people. So most churches counsel members of their church, but I go outside of that realm depending upon how the Spirit leads me and what the need of the person is and what type of counseling that I deem that may be best for them.
Okay, now someone might say, well, what do you mean how the Spirit lead? So the Spirit's going to talk to you and say, no, don't counsel that one, but counsel this one. No, I want to talk on that, and we have had some calls about how people know they really have a true calling. So, you know, I want to hold up on that for just a moment. Now, this thing called homelessness, is there something that should have been done by people put in charge of the human soul? You know, it's the soul, spirit, body thing. And I think our psychologists, the psychiatrists, and I'm really going somewhere with this, is on that. Now, is there anything that would have someone to feel that maybe they should not be counseling, they should counsel, they should take in a homeless brother, they should be at the city hall? Something is wrong with this picture, because I know here we have thousands. Someone said it's now up to 90,000 that's laying around homeless. And I know in Arizona there's a homeless problem. In Utah, I just read this morning, there's a homeless problem. Other areas, whoever is on here, please mute your phone. That's being disrespectful. Get off your other phone line or mute it. I can't hardly hear anything going on here in the background. Am I on the dashboard? So these people that have been put in charge, not our politicians, why has the homeless population grown so in America when we're a nation based on faith? and values are really helping one another. What is going on? What do you think has happened? Before you can treat anything, you've got to know what the problem is. What, in your opinion, Colonel Harrison, what has happened?
In my opinion, from a sociological standpoint of view, meaning from a people's point of view, is that the homeless population has grown because we, the people, regardless of what race, nationality, background, creed, or color we may be or come from, have become more of a selfish society, the have and the have-nots. If I have food, I have a roof over my head, I have clothes on my back, I have a few dollars in my pocket, I have a car with gas in it to drive, a few credit cards, I feel that I'm contented, I'm self-sufficient. That mindset of selfishness has permeated our society. It wasn't like that years gone by. People would share with communities food, clothing. The church was a centipede, or it was the center place where people can go and get certain provisions in addition to spiritual instructions and inspiration. But now we have a selfish society based on less caring for one another. And because of that, the homeless population has grown, because there's a certain segment of the homeless population that's homeless because of need. There's a certain segment that's homeless because they have psychological problems. And there's a certain segment homeless because they are victims, veterans of foreign wars and having sickness and illnesses as a result of being in combat zones and so forth and so on. So we have a tremendous situation on our hands that everybody, the politicians, the people, the community, the church, everybody needs to be involved in helping. Everyone needs to come to the table.
Well, what seems to be the problem is that that's not happening? See, the politicians have been out there talking, doing everything they can to get the neighborhoods, the communities involved, but that doesn't seem to be happening. I read something this morning where there's been billions put out, especially in our state, to aid the population of the homeless, but the best they can do getting started off was maybe 100 homes being built. Well, I don't know where these people are going to be while they're being built, and that's 100 homes, and there's thousands still laying. What do you think, as a minister, is the real reason for homelessness? We are looking at it as, you know, people may have lost their jobs. People might have, been a victim of this identity theft and have lost their money, their savings, so many in sickness, illness. But what is the real reason? Let's look behind the veil of what our flesh and eyes can see. What do you think is the real reason so many people is laying around with nowhere to go? It wasn't like this 20 years ago. It wasn't like this 10 years ago. What is the problem in America now with this homeless issue that seems that no one really has any good answer?
I believe the reason for the increase in the homeless population is because many social programs that were available at the state, the county, and city level has been discontinued. Those programs have been abolished, and as a result, people who have need do not have access to those programs that were once available that would help relocate people, help place people, whether it's in a facility, whether it's in a shelter, whatever it may be. A lot of those social programs are no longer available. And because of that, the homeless population has grown. That's the real reason that I have identified that the homeless population has grown. The programs are no longer available that was once available. So that's, the programs are taken away, the homeless population increased, no one has the answer, no one has the solution. The solution is for us to band together. Certain programs have to come back into existence at the political level. Certain programs have to come together at the neighborhood community-based level, and certain programs have to come together by us individually and live in some of these communities to reach out and help those who are among the least of them.
Wow. You said a lot in a nutshell, and I'm going to add my 2 cents into that. You know, complete neighborhoods have vanished. Complete across America, especially the Bible Belt. So many of those neighborhoods have vanished. and has become deadened. If you Google vanished neighborhoods in America, you will be shocked. People that have not decided to be neighborly and to look out for each other, they've vanished. When the land refused to yield anything, especially in the farming regions in America, complete neighborhoods have vanished, and it's left behind people with nothing to eat and homeless. And, you know, there's a lack of love going on. A lot of people now, especially in America, saying, you know, I got mine, you get yours. There's a lack of love for grandma. There's a lack of love for a mother. You have whole families that have turned against their families for one reason or another, don't want to have anything to do with them. And I think this is a topic that we need to explore, too. This lack of love, hatred, self-hatred, hatred of others. I didn't make the grade. I don't know what happened. I wasn't able to do what I wanted to do. I didn't go to college like the other one, so I'm not really self-sufficient. Self-hatred and hatred of others. But now there's one that was prophesied. And I know you mentioned, you know, there's, you know, people out there that perhaps don't want to be helped. You can't reach them. Guess what I'm going to put on the table? Here I go. Bam. Lawlessness. You know, it was prophesied, and here we go again. This is, even though this is not a Bible-based show, here we go again. And I think it's all your fault, Colonel Reverend William Harrison. Lawlessness. When people turn against the law, there is no restraint. They'll do whatever wickedness or evil they want to do to their fathers, their mothers. I've been hearing about complete families being put out on the street. And mommy, daddy, grandma, grandpa included, and their siblings, their adult children will not take them in. That's a form of lawlessness. There's some inner law, spiritual law, that we should follow whether we have a Bible or a book of instruction even in front of us, just wholesale lawlessness. You got some pastors scared to go into their own church on a Sunday. You drive down the streets in the cities and they're all padlocked, locked up, ain't nobody in there. If anybody needed to come out for help, ain't nobody there. The older women used to sit in them churches from sunup to sundown, Monday through Friday. Where are they at? They're nowhere. They trying to look young. Where are they at? Where are they? You used to have the motherboard. You used to have the pastor coming in. He don't show up till 5 minutes before time to open the church up. Lawlessness, that's a part of spiritual lawlessness, and we cannot get around that. I think somehow we have dropped the ball, and now we don't have the resources to really recapture. Some of the churches now, they have older women waiting to get in on Sunday. 4, 5, 6, 7, 12. What happened? Church is built. We ran an article about the vanishing role of Christianity in America. What's happening? So if we're seeing a problem with people not being a watchman on the wall, are they being told that? Are you a watchman on the wall? We need people that's going to care about each other. And where would they normally go? Run, find the church. They're padlocked, they're closed, he's not there, she's not there, deacon board not there, mother board ain't there, one of the elders, one or two, not there, not there, not there. Okay, so the supreme one is going to, of course, hold us responsible. But right now, you don't see many people walking the streets looking for these people to give them help. You talk about 60,000 sleeping on the street. There's a million. There's millions in our city alone. There's plenty enough people to go down there and pick up one. Now, I don't know about the disease, the sickness, or what they might have. I don't know. But our city is moving towards that area. That's the only way you're going to clean this thing up. People have got to get back to caring, and they've got to say no to the lawlessness that have thrown grandma out on the street. I can tell you some real-life stories about that. But as it stands right now, Colonel, tell us in 3 or 4 statements, what can we do with the lawlessness that have got us on the wall, but we're almost incapable of doing anything? Hatred, lack of love, that's what it is. I don't love them. I don't care what the hell happened to them. And the neighborhood re-gentrification, people just moving out. What can we do in three sentences, Colonel. What about this lawlessness that's got us in the shape we're in?
Number one, we got to turn back to being our brother and sister's keeper. Number two, we got to open our doors from a community point of view, neighborhood by neighborhood, resident by resident, and check on your neighbors in the community, find out who has a need. Number three, you got to identify the people who are misfits in your community and report them to the authorities, because no one wants to live in a crime-infested community or neighborhood or that's gang-ridden or drug-ridden or whatever. So we got to
right.
we got to take back ownership of our neighborhoods and our communities. And we have to, number one, again, as I said, be our brother and sister keeper. Number two, we as a resident, our neighbor, got to be our neighbor's keeper, got to learn to be a good neighbor, identify who has need in our neighbor. Number three, we got to report a lawless activity that's happening in our community to the authorities so they can remove those undesirables so we can live in a wholesome, peaceful, and hopefully safe community. Those are some basic things that I wanted to mention, those three things for consideration.
Yeah, well, God, my goodness, that's really true. And I'm thinking, you know, you said identify need. I think the only way that we're going to do that is if we're out there looking for them. You got to go out and seek. And I know, here we go again, Bible, hey, y'all, sorry. Jesus sent those disciples that became apostles out two by two. He went to the marketplace. He went to the high mountain. He went to the low mountain. He went to the valley. He went all throughout the city, the streets. The report is there for anyone that wants to read it. He went out. You have to be trained. I think with our clergymen, they have to train these people to get out. Don't run up in here and sit down and think I'm going to give you a message, and then the next week you're going to get the same. Haven't done nothing but go to the store and get some pig feet and collard greens. Yes, people still eating that. I'm thinking that in order to identify meat, how are you going to do that if you're not out there knocking on these doors, trying to find out who's behind them, who's behind the door dead? I can really talk from experience on that. Who's died? You knock on the doors, have crack, you open it up, there's somebody dead in a chair. The only way you'll have been there 6 weeks and got a whole family around the corner the next block. Wow, wow, triple wow. The only way that we're going to be able to identify a need before these people hit the streets. Something is going on before 60,000, 70,000 became homeless with nothing. Somebody heard something. Somebody knew something. Somebody was called. Someone was prayed for. They ended up there on the street. To identify need, I believe we have got to get out there to try and find a way to identify need. We can't sit up and say, okay, I'm going to pray for them. Pray for who? What is their name? Where did they come from? How many kids they got there? There's a system to really doing that. There's no way around it. If people would have done, took your advice, Colonel Harrison, 60,000, 70,000 wouldn't be laying on the street, because those people would have been identified before they started laying down on the sidewalk full of disease. Many die here in L.A. every night. So to identify need, how can we encourage people? We are a brother's keeper, but you got to know what's going on with your brother. How are you going to know? He may not have a cell phone. He might not have paid his phone bill. The only way you're going to find out, people squatting all over the land here. They're breaking in the homes with rent signs. They're going in the back, and some slipping out to get the food and come back. That's what's happening now. Realtors is pulling the hair out. Everybody is squatting. What can we do to get the word out to those so that we can identify need? Now, it might be a little late for those out there that's already sleeping, and I know in our area, Skid Row, but have reorganized religion drop the ball? Is that part of the problem? Some are saying in the newspapers that they should have been doing their job, and they mentioned this scripture, this brother's keeper. So what can we do now? I mean, it's got to be quick, and it's got to be Neolithic, because 60 plus 60 is 120,000. It's only going to get worse if we don't identify. What can we do to get our people on the street that has the charge to do that. Big time.
Well, we got to go back to a mobilization. The churches got to reach out and put out information by word of mouth. The city, the county, the state got to disseminate information to people. We got to mobilize certain volunteers in the community who are willing to help turn things around and help better the lifestyle and eradicate the homelessness in public places. So everyone got to become an advocate for their fellow man and their fellow woman. We just got to do it. And once we start doing that, we volunteer some of our time, volunteer our efforts, be willing to give up our clothes and some food, shelter, some of the resources we have. Everyone got to become mobilized, enthusiastic about it, from the community level to the government level, and we just start putting the word out there. Go out and start looking for homeless people. They're out there. They're you can't miss them. They're right before our eyes. And just see if you can find out what their needs are. And if you find they need some medical attention, see if they'll be willing for you to arrange for transport or transport them to a nearby medical facility where they can get help. There's still some medical facilities, community based and hospitals, so forth, that will treat the homeless free. So we all got to do a group effort, combined effort, to work toward being our brother's keeper for our brother and sister welfare and betterment.
Oh my God, you just took my breath away on the global vision for living today, our new title of the show. Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison. You're on it. Hey, you guys, listen, you got to get out of that house, walk next door, walk across the street. Don't tell God a lie. Don't let him see you fooling and playing around with his precious cargo. He gave you a charge. You got to do it. If not, you prove false to the power. And that's why organized religion in America is in the shape it's in. You are part of that. And you certainly, you think you're being blessed? Oh, no. Think again. Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison, for being on the Global Vision 2020 for living today. We always look forward to your comments. And again, Colonel Harrison just said you got to get out, you got to identify people, and that's the only way you're going to do it. See you next Saturday in spirit on the Global Vision 2020 for living today. Thank you for tuning in. And again, if you have any comments, anything you want to say, I've already listed that number for you, 516-595-8247. Hallelujah. Have a great weekend. Thank you again, Colonel Harrison.
Bye.